The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, 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 what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, your questions, episode 532. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
We're back with another one. Hopefully, Chris will join us. Brett is still recovering, and Adam is doing TV Terminal, doing another episode of The Last of Us. I don't know why anyone's still watching that show, but it is what it is, you know? But yeah, we are here to answer your questions, man. Let's get into it. The first one is something that happened Friday, right after the show finished, or not right after the show, but, you know, hours later, the next day. GTA 6, Miss Cleo moment, people. We said this game was going to get delayed, although I kind of started having my doubts toward the end. So the industry chatter was just saying this year, this year, this year. Rockstar tweeted out May 26, I believe, 2026. Around that time, it's going to be dropping. So there you go. GTA 6 officially delayed.
The tea leaves were like slapping you in the face.
Yeah. And I don't think, I could be wrong about this. So I'm going to put that caveat there because I don't want motherfuckers putting me in the accountability room. I could be wrong about this, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's also delayed again till the fall. You know why? Because the same thing happened to Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption was supposed to drop in the fall of 2017, delayed till spring 2018, then delayed again till the fall of 2018. So I think we're going to see the same pattern. Basically, everybody expected this game to drop in the fall of 2025. Not going to happen. Now it's happening in the spring of 2026. Don't be surprised if that shit gets delayed till, you know, November or whatever of 2026. Gaming! You're muted, man.
It is high fidelity world. It's a big deal. I mean, it doesn't surprise me. To be honest, they need to make sure that this shit is a success.
Yeah. So you know, who knows? Maybe they're cutting stuff out.
Especially with all the rumors of how much this game actually cost.
Yeah, I heard it's like $2 billion or something insane like that.
Yeah, so. But you know, it still gives them at least a year to continue to cash in money from their other cash cow.
Yeah. But Manny, I mean, how can they cash up on a video game that's been over 12 years in the making? By the way, there's a new system called the Switch 2 coming out.
Excuse me?
That hasn't had a GTA 5 announcement. I wonder if there's any correlation.
You know, but yeah, Carlos, what are your thoughts, man? Take your victory lap too while you're at it.
Yeah, man. I mean, like I said, we called this, you know, pretty much day one. This wasn't, I mean, it said, oh, it's going to release next year. And we're like, no, the hell it isn't. Like it didn't seem plausible, especially with their track record. All you got to do is just keep a track of what people do. And more than likely they keep repeating. That's what history does it sometimes.
Yeah, I just laid it all out. That's exact pattern. That's why we didn't believe this stuff. Although Jay Shep, you got to give Carlos respect, bro. He got it right. Cuz he thought it was going to happen. Accountability room, you know.
Yeah, man. It's just one of those things where we're pretty certain. And like Tony mentioned, there were some trepidations because it was getting to that time of year where, I mean, they had to release something and there were no games announced for the fall of this year. So either people were waiting or people knew something. So they're just waiting. Like there's nothing going to be releasing this year. Like Tony mentioned, we got a date, but don't be surprised if it gets deleted.
Yeah. But here's the thing, right? And again, this is one of the reasons why there was a little bit of like, we were kind of questioning, maybe it is going to come out this year. Because if you look at game release dates, go to November, it is a black hole. No games are coming out. because everybody wanted to avoid that month because they all assumed GTA 6 was coming out. So people like us were like, maybe they know something we don't. No, they were just as in the dark as we were, you know, or maybe Carlos, maybe that was their original timeline. And then they decided, nope, you know,
it's quite possible. I mean, they hold all the cards here. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yep.
They're not scratching for pennies on the couch. The whole thing. And it's interesting because, you know, the whole thing where I go on a trip when a big game comes out, I've had trepidations about the trip this fall because I have a big project due around that time. You never know. You know, the world acts in mysterious ways.
You're thinking of taking maybe around May 2026.
Oh no, that's not a time I'm going to take a trip. That's another reason why I don't think it's going to come out that time, because I don't like to take trips in May. I'm taking one this year, because May is like usually the most expensive time.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not likely to go out next May. Probably earlier around March, but that's not going to come out in March. So yeah, and going back to what Manny mentioned, they need to make sure that this works, because I don't think there's ever been a video game in existence to have the hype that this is going to get. They need to make sure that this hits. Whatever bugs that it has, whatever uncertainties they have, those got to be layered out. And they could take their precious time. It could take 2 years from now. People are still going to be waiting.
Interesting thing. Apparently, one of the reasons they delayed is because they don't want to put their developers through crunch. Very interesting. They said that. Whether that's true or not, we'll see.
That's very. It's very interesting with that whole Eye of Sauron.
That's right. Yeah.
That's a pretty big pivot,
because that's how how actual employees describe working at Rockstar. So, you know, maybe they're trying to change their public perception. Rich, what are your thoughts on this, man?
Oh yeah. So the question is, will other games be coming out around you know, later this year?
Yeah.
That's what the question was.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a perfect timing, because we are 1 month away from Summer Game Fest and the Xbox Showcase. So this will give the people that were planning to hold back their game, they have a little bit of time now to determine whether or not they want to announce something at one of those shows. So November, I'm pretty sure that November will be filled with a couple of games by the end of that show. That's what my guess is. But I don't know anything. I don't know any confidential information or anything like that. This is just me speculating.
Yeah. Brian, what are your thoughts?
I'm still kind of half and half, where I kind of expected it to happen, because there's been silence since the first trailer, and we reached like the halfway point between the first trailer and the release date that was. So weird that like past the halfway point and still also it's not really.
Brian, you're kind of cutting out, or is it just me?
Like it's cheap, and how long. Yeah, I'm interested in what last slot and what's available with that, but then also what developed to the new slot. Okay, let's now. Hello?
Yeah, by the way, Brian, was he cutting out for anybody else?
I think it's for everyone.
Uh-oh. So I don't know what brilliant thing you may have just said, Brian.
I just want to see what devs now avoid May, because now they know that, okay, May is now the death month.
Okay, yeah, I heard you there. Yeah, May 2026. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But I kind of agree with you, Rich. I think now that developers know there's not going to be GTA 6 coming this year, they're going to announce release dates. They're going to announce release dates at the end of the year. Because look at it now. It's just barren. Nothing is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
You've never seen that before.
You're 100% right. And I do want to make one comment / correction of something that Carlos said earlier. While Carlos has no intention of traveling May 2026, you know, sometimes things change. So I expect whatever happens, Carlos is going to miss some of this game, because he'll be somewhere in some part of the world when it comes out. So stay tuned.
When it gets delayed again... it will be delayed to the day that's a
goal. Yes.
This is within tea leaves.
We don't make the rules. This is just the way this shit works, you know?
Yeah, it just works this way.
Yeah. Well, Rich and Manny and Tony and Brian, these are good observations. I will say that. But next year, 2026, is a World Cup year. Uh-oh. And it happens to be in North America.
Oh,
and it's during the summer, not the spring. So
that's when GTA's dropping.
Yeah, I'm scared.
Like, hey, guys, we're going to delay it by a month. You know. Telling you, man. All right, let's move on. Oh, by the way, I'm a dumbass. We just went right to the question. I even say who was from. Gino Breaker. You know, shout out to him. He also has another question for us. For the guys on the panel who aren't playing Expedition 33, with the positive buzz that the game's getting, do you think you'll be swayed to pry it? Not really. Like, I don't get swayed by shit like that, bro. You know? I kind of have the games I'm going to play locked in, so there's not really any room for it. That's not saying I won't play it in the future. But right now, not really interested, to be honest. Is anybody else in here interested in playing this game who wasn't already playing it?
I'm more rooting for the fact that it's...
Yeah, me too. Yeah. What about you, Carlos? Oh, you're playing it already. Brian, what about you? Are you interested in playing this thing?
Yep, it's on the list. I'll probably get around to it during the summer.
There you go. All right. How long is that game, by the way? Does anybody know?
Rich, do you know? I haven't checked. Let me see.
Because if you tell me this is like 20 hours, you might persuade me to play it, you know?
Yeah, I'm not.
25 and a half hours.
25, that's not bad, bro.
For the main story.
Yeah, for the main story, yeah. I can knock that out in a couple of days. We'll see. As you know, Rich, you know, your boy, you know.
Uh-oh.
All right, so there it is. By the way, Chris said he's running late, but he'll try to be in. So that's good, because we do have a question. We got a question later about, you know, parenting as a gamer. And Adam's not going to be on today, so Chris is the only father we have around here. All right, so this next question for Black Metal Gamer. Okay, so I'm going to read the question as he wrote it. I didn't really edit it, because I don't really understand what he's asking, but I believe Jolly Yellow Nerd's question after his is what Black Metal Gamer is actually trying to ask. So I'm going to read both questions. This is Black Metal.
Does that
have
to do with Mag?
No, it has nothing to do with Mag, thankfully. So this Black Metal, again, I'm just reading it as he wrote it. Am I the only one who feels that Microsoft's Xbox console games and accessories increase is a purposeful sabotage to alienate the console space to be more relevant as just a publisher? I don't really understand what that means, but I'm going to read Jolly Yellow Nerds because I think he gets it. He goes, Jolly Yellow Nerds. I really think he, because his question came right after Black Metal. He's like, let me actually use that. You know, is it possible that the price increase on Xbox consoles is an indirect way of driving people away from buying consoles and migrate to Game Pass on whatever device they have? Hence, this is an Xbox marketing. So, yeah, do you think that's what Black Metal meant?
Carlos? That's how I understood it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So basically, it's the raising the price, but here the difference is Black Metal Gamer thinks it's on purpose. Whereas Jolly Nerd saying it's indirect. They're basically saying, are they raising the prices to sabotage the consoles so people just play their games on Game Pass? That sounds insane to me.
Yeah, that sounds like that sounds like definitely.
Yeah, but the thing is, they're both asking this question effectively.
I mean, they're both asking this question. I think, like we said before in the last show, this is just the tariffs and all the other inflation all. Was just so that they could sort of just raise the price in general. But it's so weird to you know, in general, and this is probably going to happen, definitely PlayStation.
Oh, yeah,
it's
in America.
It's already happened around the world already. Mm-hmm. So they've already blown out the price out. Japan, I think, too. So it's like, I don't think it's any sort of, you know, to push people away their console, especially a six-year-old console. Like Paris was like, even on his thing, he's like, you know, you're charging all this year-old.
It's going to be 5 in November. Yeah. It's not 6.
A 5-year-old. Yeah. No, a 5-year-old console.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's a way to push people Game Pass, because number one, it's like what Game Pass also went up too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a better deal than buying actual games on. Still, they looked at what Nintendo did. They looked at what the space is, the business space is now, and they're just like, okay, this is a good time to squeeze a little.
I like the theory.
Uh-oh.
I mean, it's a good conspiracy, although I don't agree with it for a lot of reasons Manny mentioned. Nintendo was really the catalyst to change everything. So I don't think Microsoft, enacted this on their own. Also, I think there's a big possibility that Sony would pull out a this is how you exchange games situation. Remember when Microsoft said you can't exchange games, and then Sony did this whole virtue signal in their E3 conference?
Yeah.
There's a big opportunity they could do it again in another conference where, like, we're not going to raise the prices of our consoles, and then everyone's going to celebrate it, and that's sort of their, big thing. Because, like you guys mentioned, they've already raised the price everywhere else. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sony does something like this. Although, for the games, that's a different story. I think those are
going to... Yeah. Rich, what do you think about this conspiracy theory?
I would say, I think it's a good conspiracy theory. I just think Microsoft just wants to make money. They don't really care about anything regarding Xbox. They're just looking at this as a way to continue making, whether it's the consoles, the accessories, or the games. Especially after they saw what Nintendo was doing, now they're just saying, okay, now it's our time to make some money. We know we're not competing against PlayStation and Nintendo. No, absolutely not. So let's just make some money.
Fair enough. Hey, Chris showed up. All right. So, by the way, after this question, I'll probably go back and ask you the other previous questions. But basically, we got two separate questions asking if Xbox raised the price of its consoles and accessories to purposely sabotage them so people go to Game Pass. I think it's kind of ridiculous, but what do you think?
Oh, no, I agree with that. There's no way. There's no way you would. That's a brand damaging maneuver. That is a hell of a strategy to try to alienate people away from not only your systems, but the software. And they'll go, oh, but you have Game Pass. But people associate Game Pass with the brand. So they would just go, fuck this. Like, there's no, you can't separate those things, right? You could try, you could say, oh, you could run Game Pass on PC. Normies don't know that. They just associate as Xbox. Right?
Yeah.
You say, like, they're raising the prices of everything else on there to push Game Pass. Once you've alienated your customers, they're going to use another one of your services. They're going to move on. They're going to be driven to Steam or driven to PlayStation or driven to Nintendo or driven some, or just fuck it. They're just like, I'll play classic games. I don't even care anymore. I don't, that's a horrible maneuver if that's what they were thinking. I doubt that's why they did this. I more likely think that the door of greed was kicked wide open by Nintendo, and now everybody's just going to walk right through it. Like, they did it, so now we can do it. We can get away with it.
Yeah. Just a real quick shout out to Kid Shack. He goes, that's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. I agree. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah.
Just a quick clarification, although I know it's not going to change anyone's answer, but the spirit of the question is Microsoft going to raise up the prices knowing full well Sony is going to follow after, and then they're going to seem just as, egregious at their pricings as Xbox and Nintendo are, making it so, Game Pass is a more suitable option.
Wait,
I think that's more the spirit of the question.
Is it? I don't know. It sounds like you just made up your own question, but I like where you're going with this. So basically you're saying...
That's how I understood it.
Yeah. And that's not what I read from it, but you bring up an interesting point. Because since we're talking about conspiracies, right? Microsoft raises the prices of its consoles and accessories, forcing Sony to raise the prices on their own shit. And then Microsoft be like, hey, we got Game Pass. We don't have to pay $80. Ooh. Now that's a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yo, where's that? It's fucking, the chalkboard and shit, putting it all together.
Oh, Pepe Sylvia.
Yeah.
Man, we need a conspiracy soundboard.
We really do, All right. Before we move on to the next couple of questions, Chris, I'm going to ask you the questions that we had from the top of the show. that plan sounds so dumb that Microsoft would pull a plan like that. Yeah, because it's ridiculous. Anyway, Chris, so General Breaker was asking, do you think other games will change their release dates now that GTA 6 isn't coming in November. Because remember, November right now is a black hole. There are no games coming out. Rich's theory, and I agree with it, as a Summer Game Fest, they're going to be like, hey, we got all these games coming in November.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree with that. Like, that's a vacuum that's left by Rockstar now confirming that we're getting GTA 6 in May, allegedly, now.
Oh,
that's over a year from now.
Chris, my theory, and again, I could be wrong, people. Don't put me in an accountability room. I think GTA 6 is dropping fall of 2026. You know why?
I agree with that.
Because this happened already. Red Dead Redemption, I said this at the top of the show, but I just repeated. Red Dead Redemption 2, fall of 2017. What happened? Oh, we got delayed to the spring of 2018. Oh, fuck. We got to delay it again till the fall of 2018. It already happened.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. It's over a year out, their estimate, right? So yeah. They can kick the can down the road. People are going to forget. And then they're going to kick the can down the road till holiday 2020, right? Fall 2020. Sure. I absolutely agree with that. I don't think they know when GTA 6 is going to be done. I don't think they have a clue. I think they just threw out a date that's well over a year in advance just and hope for the best. But like you said, the history is probably repeating itself. The thing with other people adjusting their dates to November, absolutely, because November is a key time. That's a key holiday release period, right? You want to hit those numbers for holiday against, like, you know, the end of either your third or your fourth quarter, depending on how your figure rolls out. But you definitely want that time slot is key, right? And everybody moved out of the way because they didn't want to compete A6. Now that it's not there, you're going to want it. We're going to see a lot of games get slammed into November. It's going to be like, what do you call it? Like Summergeddon or?
Yeah, it's going to be Fallageddon. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Crazy. All right. And the other question we had here was, you know, seeing all the positive buzz that Expedition 33 is getting, are you going to play it? The question was like, for those who haven't played it, and I'm assuming you haven't. Yeah. So are you interested in
playing it? I haven't. But yeah, I'm gonna definitely get it. I want to support that kind of work. I'll definitely check it out, but I'll probably get it. And I want to support that because I want that kind of smaller studio mindset and that kind of experimentation to come back. You know, and I'm really glad these are former Ubisoft guys that form a studio, and it's a nice little success story. And I hope they keep going. I hope they do not get bought out. I hope they don't sell out. You know, I don't care to anyone. Just keep doing what you're doing because we need more of that. We need more people like that who have been either chucked from the industry, pushed out of a major studio or whatever, or just sick of what's going on. Like I saw today, and I posted it in our chat, that the head of the Clair Obscura studio, I forgot the name of it, He just got bored. He's like, I'm bored. They probably gave him a window seat. So he's like, fuck it. He pulled some talent. He went and they made this. Fantastic. That's great. I want more of that.
Yeah, good on them. All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Carlos.
Oh, no. I was just agreeing.
Yeah. All right. Now we're all caught up. So move on to another question from Jolly Little Nerd. Actually, was for Brett, but Brett isn't here. So he wants to know if Brett has told us, what does he think of Expedition 33? I haven't talked to Brett about this game, so I have no idea if he's playing it or not.
Big fucking deal.
Yeah, so if I hear anything, because, you know, Brett had to go through another round of surgery, so he's really doped up right now. So I don't think he's playing anything at the moment. But, you know, I've got to check in with him anyway, so I'll see if he's interested in playing it. We'll let you know. All right, moving on. A couple questions here from Mr. Alpha Chuck. What are the odds that the leaks surrounding the Oblivion remaster were orchestrated on purpose? A lot of conspiracy questions tonight. Looking back at the release, the leaks benefited the game and provided free marketing for a week before the shadow drop. All Bethesda had to do was tweet out once to tune in the following day, then release their video. I'm not going to subscribe to that. That sounds a little too far-fetched to me. I see why you would ask that, though, because it is... The timing is, but here's the thing. Since this is what I think probably happened, since they were getting ready to announce it, that's why the leaks happened. Somebody heard something, you know, just like when a certain inside gaming website, you know, talks about embargoes and shit lifting, it's because somebody told them, you know, but they wouldn't have known that beforehand. So yeah, I think that's what it is. Bethesda was getting ready to make this announcement. Somebody in the inside knew and leaked the shit. And then all this started happening. I don't think it was coordinated. That's a little too far-fetched.
This leak, though, was a little bit more significant than just...
Seriously. Yeah, it was.
Like, there was, like, legitimate, like, screenshots and key art and all that stuff. Somebody somewhere...
Somebody broke embargo, what it probably is. Let's just be honest. That's
pretty much what it was. Like, somebody who was getting early decided to just let it all flow out. Or they could have been stupid and sent it over to somebody, real big Oblivion fan. Oh, shit, I'm going to put it in the internet.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what happens with, you know, a certain somebody. You know, somebody tells him when the embargoes are lifting and then he posts it, he's technically not breaking embargo, you know? It's Tom Henderson, by the way. He does that shit all the time, bro. But yeah, in this case, that's what it was. Somebody just, they got the, you know, the embargo and just let it fly, you know? So I don't think it's a conspiracy. All right. Another one here, Mr. Afflechuck. I asked this question last year. Ooh. But it is even more relevant now. Is Steam Deck's quote-unquote verified system for Steam Deck just busted? Oblivion Remastered has been verified since launch, but it is not a pleasant experience. I cannot get consistent 30 frames on low settings, depending on how many enemies are in the screen. X-Men 33 launched as quote-unquote unsupported, but was upgraded to playable a couple of days later with no update to the game, and that game runs horribly. Yeah, there's something I talked about on the show a while ago. Steam Deck is showing its age. You know, like, new games are not running well. This is the latest example of this stuff, which is why I believe I understand they want, you know, a processor that, you know, it's like, you know, between like 8 watts and 15 watts. I get it, because you'll get better battery life. But how long are you going to wait for that shit to happen, bro? Like, I would, if I were them, I would just take the hit on battery life and release a more powerful fucking system. Because your competitors sure as shit are. You know, they're not worried about battery life. They, you know, they're worried about performance. So, yeah, it's getting bad. Like, if things are this bad now, imagine next year how bad games are going to be running on the Steam Deck. You know, so, yeah, they're going to have to do something. So it's not just you that's noticing that. This has been a consistent pattern for a while now. New games, generally speaking, do not run well on Steam Deck, even on low settings, which is kind of a shame, but it is what it is, man. What do you guys think about the whole verified thing? Should they be saying things are verified when things are busted? I don't think they should.
Well, no, they shouldn't, but maybe they need more categories than playable, verified, or unsupported. Need, like, division of, like, hey, the game, like, control-wise works, but graphics, you know, it needs, like, a broader, a more specific report of what is in the yellow, what's in the red, and what's in... Like, if you say, hey, the controls all map right, okay, yeah, that's green. But graphically, the frame rate is poor. That's yellow or red. You know, it needs something like that. Like, it's too general, right? You know, and sometimes unsupported games work and they work okay. Playable games don't. Like he said, it's not consistent. They need some more consistency. And I don't know if it's like they don't have the manpower to do it. And they're using, like, I don't know, some kind of basic test to grade it. And then they just go, okay, just throw it up there. You know, I have no idea how it works.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, it's clear this thing's not working, their rating system or whatever. So either they need to update it, which would be good, you know, if you're not, especially if you're not going to have a console. But then it's going to start looking bad, too, when more and more new games are just unsupported or whatever, you know? So either way, you need a new console. All right, anybody else want to jump in? You know, Adam would have a couple of words to say about that. Hugo.
Hugo's been running like a champ. I agree pretty much what you guys are talking about. It's pretty inconsistent. I feel like also there's also the possibility where a game is working fine when they verify and a patch messes it up.
Shit.
So it's pretty, it can be pretty sketchy at times. Yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't, because if you don't have, you know, people verifying them, people aren't going to trust it. Although, like Chris mentioned, I feel like Valve doesn't have as big of a team as people would expect, you know, handling this. It's probably working on other stuff. So yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like Tony, I'd rather, yeah, you know, hope I want a new system. Because, you know, like the the hardware is getting outdated, but I don't foresee any system anytime soon.
Yeah, and I don't think so either. Especially the way they're talking. It's like, yeah, it ain't happening. And they also don't have a reason to, because they're still beating the pants out of everybody, you know? So crazy. Again, out of the 6 million handhelds that have been sold, you know, in recent years, 4 million of those are Steam Decks. So they got no competition right now. It's crazy. All right. Kishak, got a question from him. Do you guys think Sony will get less blowback when they raise the prices after Nintendo and Xbox? It's a good question, because people already primed for it, right? Yeah, that's a good question. It's like, people will be like, ah, yeah, we knew it was just coming. Fuck it. I mean, there's already people on Twitter going, yeah, it's going to happen. Just, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, I think it'll be, I don't think it'll be.
Yeah, he says less blowback. Yeah, less blowback is the question.
I don't know. It's like the Xbox one got pretty.
Yeah, because they were the first to do it after Nintendo.
Well, no, you know, yeah, after Nintendo. So it's like, will they get the same thing? I don't know.
Yeah, because remember, we were asked that question. It's like, who's going to be first to do it? Who's going to follow Nintendo? You know, and now people are more primed for it. I think there will be blowback, absolutely, but people are already like, ah, I already see it. They're already resigned to it. You know, it's crazy.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Nintendo is a sly dog. You know, they got dogs.
They got dogs.
They released the PS5 Pro at what price? Could someone remind me?
$699.99 Yeah.
And that thing, essentially, they were the first to this out of everyone, because they, you know, no pro console should be $200 more bucks than the previous iteration of the you know, of the toe dip. But they were the ones that, you know, raised it up $200. So I feel like Sony is just going to do limited, you know, amounts of the regular PS5 and just make the PS5 Pro the main console. And that way they don't have to really raise up the price, quote unquote. They already have a $700 console, and they can still virtue signal and these things and say, we're not raising the price of the PS5, unlike our competitors.
But raising those game prices,
you know.
They're definitely doing that. Yep.
Yeah,
I think there'll be less blowback. I think people are the complacency is going to set in. Like, oh, I guess this is what's happening.
It's already happening.
And, it's already happening. Like, Microsoft's going to do it. Watch, EA is going to. They're all going to do it. So, as more and more of these guys follow suit, which I don't know how this is not price fixing, but it's not. I guess it's not deliberate. They didn't just sit in a smoky room and figure this out, but it kind of is, you know, how I feel. But it's just going to happen. And yeah, Sony, there's going to be some blowback. People are going to get pissed, but they're going to get like pissed like they did with Nintendo. Or what's going on now with Microsoft, the first act. If Sony's the second or the third afterwards, it's just going to be like, oh, shit, I guess this is where we're going now.
Yeah, no, people are just resigned to it. You know, it's crazy. Anybody else, you think there's going to be less blowback or more? Probably not. Go ahead.
Yes, there will be less blowback, because when Sony does announce this, they're going to actually have a game that they announce the price change for. That's the difference between Xbox, because Xbox just said this holiday season, when we release our first party games, they will now be $80. Whereas Nintendo, you know what, that Mario Kart is the reason for that, because that's what the price was announced for that game. So when Sony does announce this, they will announce it. You know, maybe it'll be a game coming out next year. It may even be Carlos's most anticipated game, The Last of Us Part 3. So there you go. Yeah.
Or that other game that Naughty Dog is developing.
Oh God, Interstellar, that bullshit.
Oh yeah, there you go.
That's your favorite game, I heard, Rich, you know.
That's no, Rich's game.
Absolutely not.
Actually, we know it's Reggie's favorite game. My man is crazy for that.
Man, listen.
Man, listen.
Well, also, I wonder, now this is just a random ass thought, but just think about Sony. I wonder if Ghost of Yote gets delayed till the end of the year now that GTA 5 is not there for 6.
Well, that would be interesting because they pushed up the date, you know? By the way, I know they didn't technically push it up, but we expected it in November, you know? That'd be interesting. Like, hey, guys, we're actually going to delay it a month.
Never mind.
Never mind. We're going back, you know? Like, just move it back. I really expect Summer Game Fest. You're going to get a lot of November release dates, bro. It's going to be crazy. And guess what else is coming out in November? Jeff Keighley's dumbass.
Yeah.
You know?
Yo, mate.
Yeah. All right, man. Couple questions here for Black Viet. Seeing how this generation was with remakes, remasters, do you think the next generation will be the same? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The only way it won't be is if developers stop making like $50 million games. $50 million, that's cheap now. What the fuck am I talking about? Stop making $1 billion games that take 6 years. You know, if we get more Expedition 33s, but then again, that took 5 years too, didn't it? I don't know, but I think, yeah, we're going to be more of the same. Remasters, remakes, no new games for you, you know?
It's just, I mean, the thing about it is as if they, just like the film board, familiar things that they can guarantee that they'll make back what spent on it. So what are you going to get? You're going to get sequels, you're going to get remakes.
Yep. I don't think anything's going to change next generation. A damn shame, bro. Because this generation was rough with, and last gen was bad with that shit too, you know? But there it is.
According to Carlos, it's been bad since the PS4.
Well, that's what I said, last generation. Yep. And technically, if you think about it, it really started with the PS3 generation at the tail end of it. Got a lot of remasters and remakes that day, you know? So, yeah, it's been a pattern, you know?
It's an interesting one on that end, because legitimately those games could not run.
Yeah. So at least those were, it was like, okay, you're right. Can't a PS2 game, well, PS2 games could one day, you know, they were able to play on PS3s, but not anymore. But yeah, it's bullshit. That question depressed me, bro. Fuck. There's more, we're just gonna get more of this bullshit. You know, a generation where the first half of it is going to be just remasters, remakes, lackluster bullshit. Then you finally start getting some like games in the latter half, you know, with The Last of Us. How many times are we going to remaster that shit? You know, I don't know. What do you guys think? Will things get better or will they get worse?
I mean, I think right now, again, I keep saying that there is been talk about, you know, heel title less than five. Maybe the future we'll see some actual experimentation, some new IP. Obviously, with the, you know, we now have a proof of concept, a middle A budgeted game, E3 can look just as good as any of the big boys. It's just about having, you know, ending the whole too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, really ending the Neil Druckmann way of developing games. Because watch that Last of Us documentary, that production was an utter mess. So getting people in charge who really have a long vision and getting those titles out, I think it will change to an extent. Obviously, you know, you'll use the, it's definitely big shot to the arm when you have something like an Oblivion Remastered coming out, especially after a giant failure. Well, not a giant failure, but not a game that didn't do as amazing with the, you know, space, Elder Scrolls Starfield. But you definitely can see that they probably said, okay, we're break glass in case of emergency, throw out Oblivion to get this, get us some money going.
And again, you know, what lesson are gamers teaching developers? Oh, they buy this stuff. This gets us hype, you know. You had a live stream for a remastered game, bro. That's insane. They treated it like it was a brand new game, but of course it wasn't, because it had, you know, Elder Scrolls. Obviously, fucking depressing, man.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, at least, you know, and I'm not the guy that hates remasters. At least for this one, I mean, there hasn't been a true Elder Scrolls game in more than a decade, and I'm pretty sure most people who saw this announcement didn't even know what an Oblivion was. So that's like the only grace I give Bethesda. But still, I mean, when you got people like Naughty Dog doing the other stuff, it's like ridiculous.
It hasn't been. Now here's the thing: it's like for Oblivion, that game hasn't been remastered and released up to high hell. My memory,
Oblivion, so
that's
no.
What right. makes This, that's what makes this sort of release, even though it is a remaster, a significant, because they hadn't done it. It was just, you know, if you bought it, you got the old dirt old version of it.
Yeah.
There is that.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because it's not that I don't think necessarily remasters and remakes are bad. I don't think they are. The problem is when that's all you're getting, when you're just relying on that. Like, those games should be a supplement to the new games you get, you know? Because remaster remakes are good because of game preservation and all that. So they have a place in the industry, but they're the only meal we're getting, you know?
Realize that the PlayStation 5 generation started Flash Remake.
The first thing we... What was the first thing we saw at the PS5 reveal? The first thing. GTA 5! Bro! Come on, man.
And Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
It's upsetting, you know?
I mean, granted, again, the what do they call it? Absence makes stuff has been year. They had not done for that game the new generation of consoles.
Yeah.
You know, since the 3 up to the 5, you haven't seen any of that. Cool. But yeah, it still is what it is.
Yeah. But again, it should be a supplement to the main game you're getting. You know, it's like, oh, we got these 3 new games. Oh, shit. And Demon's Souls? It should be like that, not just, hey, Demon's Souls. This is the game you're getting for the PS5. You know,
that was a big thing in Ratchet. But yeah, what was going back to PS5? What was that cornerstone game for the PS5?
Demon's Souls Remaster, bro.
Was Demon's Souls Remastered possibly? And then what was it? How many was it launch window for Ratchet?
Ratchet was later. You know, it wasn't even launch window. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so it wasn't even in that sort of a remake remaster, the must have game.
Yeah. And then you had Returnal, that was around launch-ish. It was later, but the thing is, the 2 marquee games for your PS5 are hard as fuck. You know, so it's like you couldn't even get the normies with them, you know? It's crazy, man. Anyway, let's move on here.
And they lied about loading times.
Yeah, exactly, Mark Cerny. What was the other marquee game for the PS5? Miles Morales, a PS4 game. Yeah. Like, come on, man. We're gonna see more of that next generation. Get ready. All right. Next one here, from Black Viet. Will anyone on the panel rush and get the next PlayStation day one, or wait a few years for the exclusive to come out? Manny's the one that did it right, I think. You know,
I never have bought a PlayStation. Closest would probably, but that was we got the fill off the truck.
Yeah, we got the fill off the truck deal. That's right. But even that was a year after the fact. Yeah,
I never bought them. So I had a PlayStation very close, Final Fantasy, Metal Gear time, and that was already a few years into one PlayStation. I said was the fill off the truck deal. We were pretty close to launch on 3. I bought it around the time of Metal Gear Solid 4,
2008 for Metal Gear Solid
2008. 4. 2008, yeah. And then same thing with the 5. So yeah, no, I would just wait. There is unless there's something that's for that console says to have it, I would say, you know, and especially with the way we suspect pricing is going to be new console, wait it out.
Yeah, and remasters.
Yeah. You might get a remaster. You know, granted, it might be a good game, but at the same time, that game will still be there if you pick it up. A year or two later, it's not going to disappear. Give it time.
Also,
unless there's something that there's enough reason, and that's always the way I've based my purchase of a console. If there's more than one reason to have it.
Yeah, and also another factor to that to add to the sentiment, it's not like the new games that are coming out day and date are not also going to be coming out for the PS5 like a lot of the games in this generation did. You know, remember, we believe in generations. Mm-hmm. That was a lie.
Absolute lie. You know, what about you, Carlos? I know you like getting stuff on day one.
You know, to be honest, the only reason why I got the Nintendo, I'm getting the Nintendo on day one is because at least I know Nintendo does have, you know, exclusive games. They have a way better track record than both Sony and Microsoft. And the console price isn't as egregious as I think it could be. And like how the PS6 and the Xbox, whatever the hell they call it, is going to be. So I got that for the PlayStation 6. I'm pretty sure it's going to be around $600 to $700 day one.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they're not going to announce anything. It has to have something really special. They got to have something really, really special in order for me to go in, and I don't think they will. We're 2 years away.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. I mean, I've said this before. I think I may shock everyone and not get it either for a while, because it, like you said, all those games are going to be on PS5 and PC, you know? So what's the point? You know, unless there's some banger exclusives, and I'm using that plural, exclusives at launch, I'm like, oh, fuck, I need to have this, right? Then I'll get it. But so I'm not going to rule it out. Right now, I probably won't, you know? And I'm going to sound like a fucking asshole, to be honest. I'll probably be reviewing the goddamn console, so I'll have access to it regardless. But for personal use, like, bro, I said this about the PS5. I owned the damn thing, and I said, and I was telling people, you don't need to buy this, you know, because all those games were available on PS4, vice versa. So I'll wait. The only way, but I will leave the door open in case there's some crazy fucking bangers that are only on, like, PS5 exclusive. This shit, PS6 exclusive, this shit is not a PS5. That's the only way, and they have to be crazy, you know? Crazy good stuff. I'll go down the line here. Rich, what about you?
To echo what you said, it definitely depends on the lineup, whatever they show. And let me be very clear. I want to see exclusive games. I'm not talking about a third-party game that is a deal that Sony did to get the game on the console of consoles. No, I need to see exclusive Final Fantasy. Content. A Final Fantasy is coming to every console now, Carlos. Haven't you heard? Except for Final Fantasy VII, that is not coming to Xbox ever. But yeah.
All right. Chris, what about you?
Oh, I get it. Day one? Probably not. No, I, like you said, remember you pointed us at that exclusive list for each generation?
Mm-hmm.
PS1 had almost 200, PS2 had over 500. And what were we at for PS5? Like,
yeah, it was like 13 or something.
13. It was super low, yeah.
Yeah.
So what am I going to rush out and get that for? What excuse are they going to have? How much cross-generational stuff has there been? Like you said, day one of a PS5 was GTA, and I don't need to rush out and buy this shit. Like, what am I going to, hit up Fergus Mills again to, get this thing? No, I'll just wait.
Brian, what about you?
Well, I got the PS5 to play PS4 games in good condition, and I can't really do the same thing with the PS6, because what PS5 games are there?
Damn.
unless the PS6 does come out with... The funny thing is that I'm not saying that as a joke, I'm being actually serious, which makes it even worse. So the PS6 has better come out with something, yes, I know, something that, as Tony said, is just going to be a game changer. If not, then what is the actual point? And I don't think there is any.
There really isn't.
So, no.
Again, if we're just going to keep getting a bunch of remasters and remakes and cross-gen shit, what's the point, you know? All right, and the final question of the night. Let's just be honest. Chris, this question is for you. How in the world do you find time to play games when you have kids, especially young ones? Do you keep them in check with the chancleta?
Oh, no. I have big feet. You just have to find little pockets, your kids a little bit. I don't have as much time as, it's not like I'm sitting there like with a schedule like I did before. Like I can't game like that anymore. So it does impact my time. And also I have to share it too, because I'm getting her into. So like earlier today I was watching her playing Super Mario Wonder. She was playing that. So I'm not playing anything. I'm helping her play it, you know, or she asked me to sit there and take turns, right? So I'm playing that. Yeah. So that's nice. But I count as part of my game. Did I want to play Mario at that point? No, I could have been playing Monster, but I played it with my daughter. It was very gratifying. There is that as well. I'm sure Adam has playing Street Fighter with his son, or FIFA, or WWE.
Fortnite.
You share that experience. Very gratifying.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Adam would probably have a similar one. I know he waits till, you know, or used to wait till they were asleep. Now they're like older, more independent. So he's just able to do 50 podcasts again. But
yeah, I'm not in that phase. Like I need it, so I can't do.
Yeah.
Also, he don't sleep.
He doesn't sleep. That's the other thing. That's the trick. Adam doesn't sleep.
He, He still keeps all of that those crazy hours.
Yeah, because he's still playing a bunch of games and fucking watching every show that gets aired. I'm like, damn, I don't know how this guy has time. Like, there's only 24 hours, bro, in a day. How do you do this? It's interesting. All right, man, that's all the questions we got this week. So good stuff. Let's go around the table here. Manny, what you got to plug?
Well, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I think three of the issue series that cover series that cover, at least I think it should. Anyway, there's that. And there's also the just dropped last week, the Power Company. We have a Power Company, Kari Randolph and my.
Good stuff. All right. Rich, what's coming up on the Coalition this week? I heard that it might be an exciting week.
Yeah, it is going to be an exciting week. Before I get to that, let me address a few quick things. TV Terminal, Mr. Adam Vale has been reviewing Mobland and The Last of Us. So Last of Us review is actually what he's doing right now. So stay tuned for that. We will have that on the website and definitely check out the
Gotta have something.
There you go. Okay. As for the Coalition, myself, Adam, and Carlos, we actually have been reviewing once again the I Am Negan podcast. You know, we're talking about The Walking Dead, Dead City. The premiere happened tonight. So yeah, our review is currently on the YouTube channel as well as the website. So if you are a Walking Dead fan and you want to know if the spinoff is any good, I would recommend you check out and hear what we have to say about the show. Of course, myself, Gary, and Dana, we have been reviewing a few other things. Power, that's currently on the website. So yeah, if you want to hear our thoughts on that show, check out the website. And as for the Coalition and the gaming stuff, because it's what you guys really want to hear, because this is a gaming podcast. Yeah, there's a couple things in the works that'll be coming later this week. Something coming much later this week has to do with an upcoming game. I don't want to say anything about it. I will just say stay tuned. But yeah, plenty of things coming this week, so make sure you check out the website.
Yeah, I'll be a little less coy about that because we actually are allowed to at least say it. So yes, for those who may be interested, Adam, me, and Rich have a review code for Doom the Dark Ages. Unfortunately, the embargo lifts on Friday, so please ask us questions for next week's Sunday show, and we'll tell you everything about it. Because obviously, we can't tell you anything beyond that we have the game. That's all we could tell you at the moment.
Oh, come on.
You know, sorry, man. It's just the way it is. I know the fans are like, oh, what the fuck? But yeah, we have the game, all three of us, and we'll, yeah, please, again, just please ask us about it for the Sunday show, and we'll go in depth, you know? Good times are coming for Throwdown, man, especially if more drama happens in the industry. We'll see. All right, man, we are done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord. Shout out to the Discord fam, you know, always providing us with news and the questions. And, you know, we're on your favorite podcast app, whatever it is, Apple, you know, Spotify, all that good stuff. We're on there. So check us out there. Listen to us at work. Well, apparently, people really like listening to us at work. And as I learned, most people listen to us on their mobile device. So probably just dudes listening while they're, you know, hauling crates or whatever, you know, whatever you guys are doing. No, excuse me, video game, right? Where you guys are driving your forklifts around, you know, like, yeah. Oh man. But yeah, links to all that stuff down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everyone.
And Brian Majoma.
I love how Uncle Phil just said, you know what? I'll show you a real Xbox tax.
Oh, man. That's a fact right there, man. Again, how you gonna raise the price on a console no one's buying, bro? So crazy. All right, guys, we'll see you on Thursday, man. Later.
Laters.